So Ephesians 4, 1 to 25. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensual and so indulge in every kind of impurity and are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life, you learned when you heard about Christ and you were taught in him according with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So as we just ponder what we've just heard, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you take away from me my own feelings. We only want to hear from you, Lord. Lord, open up your word this morning, that we may learn from it, that we may grow from it in our faith. Lord, I believe that you laid this message on my heart, and I pray that you just give me the authority and power that I need to deliver it. And I ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. I've entitled this message, All for One and One for All in Christ. Because without Christ, Scripture tells us, we can do nothing. From this reading, from this morning's reading from Paul, it seems quite clear to me that Paul's making this statement to reinforce the church in Ephesus, to get them to pull together instead of pulling asunder. You know, he's telling them, you are called to love and care for each of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can see that quite clearly in verses 4 and 6 of the passage we just read. There is one body, one spirit, and just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. There is no other scripture to listen to. There is nothing to distract us. We need to just take hold of our faith and remain constant in Him. Put our faith in Him. It couldn't be clearer if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then we are sons and daughters of the living God. As Rob alluded yesterday, we've got a new king. But we weren't born into his family. But we have been adopted into the Lord's family. And you know, adoption is stronger than natural birth by law. If somebody is born naturally and the parents give them up for adoption, the adopted parents then become the owner and they're entitled to claim their inheritance of that family. So it's important that we remember that we were chosen by Him. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. And it's hard to get it into your head, why did He choose me? But He did. And that's good news for you, for each one of us. It could not be any clearer. You know, when we grafted into the vine, we become one in the body. And we come with the same spirit, as verse 4 tells us, you are called by the Lord. You know, and if you answered His call in the affirmative, you have the right to be His son or daughter, an heir in His kingdom. So then we're all part of the same family, all part of His family, all heirs to the kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. When I looked at the service yesterday, the coronation, I couldn't help but thinking the vast number that was in there, what was it, 2,000 and odd people in there. I wonder what percentage of them will we meet with when we get in to the kingdom, the true kingdom. We weren't fit enough or important enough to go to a coronation of King Charles III, no invitation. But the Lord invited us into His kingdom. And I thought, wow, I know which coronation I want to be at. Yeah. Surely it follows then that we should be of one mind and we should be working together to grow the kingdom, just as Paul was pointing out to the Ephesian church in that passage. You know, we are called to grow the kingdom, as we read in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, when Jesus, speaking to His disciples, told them, He came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Sounds very easy, doesn't it? So simple, so straightforward. But we've got to remember, just like any family, we have all got different personalities, different abilities, different gifts. Some of these are natural gifts or family attributes or traits, whatever you want to call them. Others are learned because of our personal interest in various activities. You know, some are good and some are bad. But you know, when you belong to the family of God, all of a sudden, if you're like me, a lot of our interests and priorities change. Things that we used to think were important and we loved to do suddenly just fade away and they become obsolete. You know, and that's not because we are such great people. I believe that's the Lord helping us by taking away the things which distract us from His love and attention. You know, when we are born again into the new family, as I say, we don't need to worry about anything because our God has it all in hand. He knows what He wants each of us to do. He knows what job He's got for us. We've got a purpose. And it's not just to sit in a pew and listen to me or anyone else. It's to be active in His work. You know, if we look at Paul again, and I thank the Lord for Paul. When you think, Paul started off life far away from Jesus as anyone has ever been. In fact, he persecuted the Christians, as we know. You know, but during that time, he was a scholar and he was a Pharisee. So he got the best training in Jewish traditions and law. And you know, when the Lord picked him to be a missionary, converted him, he had a good grounding in the scriptures. And he could put those scriptures into the right perspective rather than into just a religious perspective. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, 3-11, Paul tells us, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous power. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. Now, I think it's important that we note verse 11 here, which makes it quite clear that all these works are from the one and the same Spirit, and it's He who distributes them as He, and put the emphasis on He, determines. Now, I used to wonder when I was a young Christian, and I'm sure some of you will probably wonder the same thing, why doesn't He just give us all the gifts? And that would be complete, wouldn't we? Everything, we have it all tied up. But you know, our Lord is a loving Lord. He loves us. And he knows the burden would be far too heavy for us. That's why we are in a daily walk. And it's one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Because he knows if we knew what was ahead, some of us wouldn't be able to cope with it. We would think, oh no, can't get to that. But he doesn't. He loves us. And he gives us what we need at the time. And at times, his gifts will change as well. If he's called you to do a specific thing in the church or in the body, and you think, oh, I can't do that. I've never done that before. I've been there. Rob's been there. I'm sure we've all been there. But if you trust in the Lord and ask him, he will reinforce those gifts. I mean, at one time, I would be standing up here. I'd be shaking like a leaf talking because I was trying to do things in my own strength. And it wasn't until I got to learn that I needed help and called out for it that the Lord helps. And it's like our kids. Our kids need help at times. And us as parents, we watch them painfully doing stupid things. But until they call out for help, like young Claire has, there is no hope. But when they call out for help, there's an opportunity to reach out and help them. And, you know, and that's what the Lord does for us. As Christians, we need to understand that these spiritual gifts that we are giving, we need to use them to glorify the Lord. They're for his glory, not mine, not yours. They're to glorify him as well as to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to recognize what part of the body we are if we are going to be effective in our Christian walk. Yes, we need to exercise our gifts. It's important that we recognize that just as our muscles need to be exercised if they're to grow in strength, so our God-given gifts need to be exercised if we're to grow stronger in the faith. It's important for growth that we not only read our scripture, but that we meditate upon it and then apply it to our lives. The following passage from 2 Peter makes it obvious that the only way we can confirm our calling and election, we can read in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verses 3 to 5. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given his very great precious promises so that through them you may participate in a divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge. Wow. Now we've prayed for young Daniel today, who's gone off, will be going off hopefully to a university that the Lord will have chosen for him to improve his knowledge. Now knowledge is a lovely thing. It's a good thing to have. Wish I had a bit more of it, you know. But knowledge of the Lord's purpose and will and hand upon each of our lives is the most important knowledge that you can ever obtain. And there's only one place you'll get it, and that's from his word. You know, the only way we can improve that knowledge is to study his word. And I've highlighted study. I mean, to really get into it, not just to a quick read through in the morning and, oh yeah, that's good, yeah, and put it away until next year, because I do the Bible in a year, and sometimes it can feel like that, you do that. You know, but when you've been doing it as long as I have, year by year by year, you get quite familiar with it, and sometimes that can be dangerous as well. So you've got to really meditate upon it and what the Lord has got to say to you at that time, because he'll talk to you from different, the same passage on different ways each time you come across it. And that's sometimes very hard, especially when you're trying to prepare a message like this one. You know, we need to really get into it. We need to study it. We need to chew it over, to feed on it, to digest it, to let it seep into the sinews, and to build up our strength in our relationship with the Lord, and indeed with others. We need to understand that the spiritual gifts, or gifts given to each of us, they're given for a purpose. They're not to be buried or kept to ourselves. No, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for the common good, not just for us. It's not to make us look special or pump us up or full of pride. And that's why he doesn't give us all of the gifts, because that's what would happen to us. We get so pompous, so full of pride, we'd be like the Pharisees, you know, wanting everybody to kowtow to you. It's important that we know what gifts each of us have been given. And you know, if you think you haven't been given any gifts, or you don't recognize your gifts, there's only one way you'll find out, and that's by getting in touch with the Lord and asking him to point out the gifts and the purpose that he has for your life. And you know, it tells you in Scripture, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. And that's the same for anything that you feel that you neglect in the Christian walk. Ask the Lord. You know, that's what he's there for. Seek and you will find. So each gift, as I said, has been given to each of us. And if you don't know what it is, ask for it. Spiritual gifts are not for you alone. They're not to be used just for your own purpose, but for the benefit of all. As is the title of this morning's message, makes it quite clear. All for one, and one for all, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love each one of us, that you called each one of us into a relationship with you. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, you empower each one of us with various gifts, Lord, because you want to build us as a body, and you want us to use each of the gifts, because if we use the gifts that you have given us, it eases the burden on the rest of the body. And Lord, your feet get sore walking all day, so you allow us to sit down and rest, and you give us peace. And Lord, that's what we need as a body of believers. We need people to come along and assist, to lift us up when we fall down, to give us sustenance when we need refreshment. And Lord, we know that we can rely on you to provide that. Lord, we pray that you help us to remain strong in you and to follow your direction. Increase our faith, Lord, we pray, and protect us from the evil one. And above all, Lord, make your gifts known to each one of us and give us the enthusiasm to step out in faith and to exercise them for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.